they've lost to us for 3 years in a row. They're tired of hearing it, and you just see the maturity and just the fight over there. And as a team, they came together, so you have to tip your hat off to them.
Purdue point guard Lewis Jackson talking about the team's loss to rival Indiana on Saturday night, dropping the Boilermakers to 15-8 overall and 5-5 in the Big Ten. I'm Sam Clement, along with student reporter Rob McMahon. You're listening to the WBAA Purdue Sports Podcast. And Rob, as a student of Purdue University, it has to be tough to watch Indiana get back into this rivalry after a pretty good run here, five in a row of the Boilermakers dominating.
It's a little heartbreaking, especially being my senior year here. I'm not going to be around next season for any rematches to re-sweep them, but it definitely hurts to watch the Hoosiers come into Purdue and get a win like that.
Victor Oladipo with a career day for the Hoosiers, scores a career-high 23 points. All-freshman Cody Zeller with 16 points and 8 rebounds. Just a great performance by IU. They got out to an early 13-0 run there about midway through the first half to really take command, and then ended the game on a 13-0 run. What did you see that IU did differently this year compared to the last five meetings?
It just seemed like they wanted it more. There were glimmers of hope throughout the game. There was a couple times you see Kelsey Barlow get into the net. There were chances that Purdue had, but they didn't seem like they wanted it as badly as IU did. IU came in, they just kind of played with more heart, more passion. They got to the rim when they needed to, and they were able to keep the exterior shooting hot when they were having issues.
And Purdue head coach Matt Painter had those same sentiments in his post-game press conference. Here's what he had to say about his team's effort against their rival IU.
You know, you're going to struggle. I just want guys to stay together and fight it. You know, we got to do a better job of just fighting our opponent and just not giving in to things.
Purdue had a chance. They were down by four. Lewis Jackson had his shot blocked by Will Sheehy. That kind of turned the momentum. And then Remy Abel knocked down a three in the corner for Indiana. That really turned the tide, and Purdue was never able to get back after those two pivotal plays. Rob, just talk about the importance of the plays by the Hoosiers down the stretch.
Those plays really became more important than they probably even should have been. Had Purdue been able to make make most of its free throws, those plays don't have as big of an impact. But when you get that type of momentum swing, when you get the big block, when Purdue's still down by four, it gives IU that just emotional boost that they need at that point. It gives them that momentum boost to realize, you know what, we can pull away with this. They're not going to be able to catch up to us now. And they were able to kind of comfortably put the game away.
I asked Coach Painter about the free throw differential at the post-game press conference. Purdue shot and made 15 less free throws than Indiana. And Coach Painter talking about IU being more aggressive. They just attacked the basket. They were the aggressor on Saturday, and that was a big part of the reason they were able to come away with that 78-61 win. So now Purdue needs to regroup, 15-8, very much sitting on the NCAA tournament bubble. They haven't missed the tournament since 2006, so it's been a while, and that is very much in jeopardy right now. The task doesn't get much easier. They travel to the third-ranked team in the country, Ohio State, Tuesday night. Rob, what can Purdue do to pull what would be their win of the season to this point?
They're going to need to take, especially this IU game, realize the emotions that the Hoosiers came in and played with. They need to kind of go into Columbus with that same intensity, with that same fire that Indiana came into West Lafayette with. They need to go out there and not think about Ohio State as first place in the Big Ten. They can't think of them as this highly ranked opponent. They just need to go in there. They need to play their game. They can't allow Ohio State to kind of knock them out of their rhythm. Hopefully, if they do that, then they might have a chance.
It's the only meeting between the Buckeyes and the Boilermakers this season. It's a 9 o'clock tip-off in Columbus. Purdue has not beaten a ranked team yet this season, and they haven't won back-to-back games since late December. So the Boilermakers are going to definitely have to try to turn some things around if they hope to make a tournament run. It'll start Tuesday night at Ohio State, and then they're back home Sunday against Northwestern. And Rob, just looking ahead on the schedule, no matter what happens in Columbus, that's almost a must-win game for Purdue.
Definitely. If Purdue wants any chance to make the NCAA tournament, no matter what happens at Ohio State, they have to get a win against Northwestern, and even more so to be able to get a quality win on the road, traveling to Illinois after that. Those are almost two must-have wins. when you look at it, because after that you have to go to a really tough Michigan State. You have to travel, or no, you have to host Nebraska, who has been showing their strength lately, and then traveling to Ann Arbor to take on a really tough Michigan team this year.
Four of Purdue's remaining opponents are currently ranked in the top 25, Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, and Indiana. So Purdue has a chance to pad their resume, but they gotta come away with wins in that one. But it starts tomorrow night, Tuesday, at Ohio State. It'll be the Boilermakers and the Buckeyes, a 9 o'clock tip-off.
We obviously didn't like how we felt the other night, but it was a great basketball game, and we haven't lost a close one, so sometimes that kind of gets you refocused.
After a very tough loss in triple overtime to a very good Nebraska team, the Purdue women's team bounces back Sunday night, Super Bowl Sunday, with a big win of their own, a 77-66 win over the Illini. Rob, you were at both of those games. Just the difference in Purdue's play against Nebraska and then what they did differently against the Illini.
Nebraska, they seemed worn out at the end. They got down early. They were down by as many as 12 points midway through the first half, and they just kind of seemed out of it. They needed that second half rejuvenation to be able to catch up, and at times it looked like they were going to be able to pull away with it. They would have Courtney Moses KK Hauser hit a three-point when they really needed it, but that seemed to be a big problem. They only had three shots from beyond the arc in that entire game, compared to Nebraska hitting 15 from beyond the arc. And that really just became the difference throughout the game, was going to be the endurance. Nebraska just was physically able to endure more throughout this game, going into three overtime periods.
And a late lucky three doesn't hurt as well. But Purdue does respond nicely, 21 points each on Sunday from Sam Osterwello and Courtney Moses. As Rob said, they both played very well. Purdue scored 8 of the final 10 points before halftime after trailing 26-25. It was that late push for the Boilermakers that really helped them gain that momentum and that control late in the half.
Yeah, definitely. And thankfully, they were able to kind of learn from what they did against Nebraska and transition against Illinois, who is a weaker team statistically, but, I mean, they're still a very tough team to have to play. They're a good road team, even though their record doesn't kind of complement that as well. But, I mean, to have Sam Osterwello get her fourth double-double of her career with 21 points and 13 rebounds. Sophomore Courtney Moses gets another 21 points. She hasn't missed a free throw since early January when they traveled to Illinois. So, I mean, she's really kind of keeping all of her basics in check and really doing good things for the team.
And the Boilermakers now with a very big game coming up of their own against Ohio State. That will be a battle for one of the top spots in the Big Ten. Rob, this is an Ohio State team that's been historically good. They won the Big Ten tournament last year. Very good point guard play. So Purdue traveling to Columbus against one of the best teams in the country. This is another one of those signature games for the Boilermakers to show, hey, we belong in the national conversation.
Definitely. Right now, half a game separates Purdue and Ohio State for first place in the Big Ten. And Ohio State is still ranked nationally slightly above Purdue, which kind of really gets under their skin sometimes. They feel like they're not quite getting the respect they deserve nationally, and hopefully they'll be able to go out, travel to Ohio State, and get that big quality win that'll show the rest of the nation, like, hey, we're here, we're really doing something in West Lafayette.
That'll be a 5 o'clock tip-off on Sunday night, and that is one of five games remaining for the Boilermakers. Three of those are on the road, so a very tough stretch here to end the season for Purdue at Ohio State, at home against Penn State, road travels to the state of Michigan, at Michigan State, at Michigan, and then they close out the season against Indiana at home. But Rob, even though they have some of those road tests, those are very winnable games after Ohio State, which should be pretty much even.
Definitely. Ohio State will probably be the one big game on everyone's radar to say that this will be the one that will really test Purdue. After that, Penn State, they should easily be able to get a win at home, being able to be at home with the home crowd and whatnot. The state of Michigan has kind of shown to be a little more beatable than everyone had originally assumed at the beginning of the year. Michigan State has been having a couple rough patches. They haven't been able to win as consistently as everyone had imagined them. And even Michigan's been having a bit of a rough patch here lately in the season.
So the big matchup comes up Sunday night, 5 o'clock. The Purdue Boilermakers taking on the Ohio State Buckeyes, a 5 o'clock tip-off from Columbus. Now, on the gridiron, still the off season, but a very busy week of headlines for the Purdue football team. National letters of intent were signed on Wednesday, 23 for the Boilermakers on National Signing Day. They also have two junior college transfers who have already enrolled in the university, so they had 25. And then they got a late addition in the week as well, as quarterback Robert Gregory signed to play here in West Lafayette. Rob, just as a Boilermaker fan, as a Boilermaker student, what do you think is the number one priority for this team in terms of building for the future?
Right now, I was really surprised at how many quarterbacks were being recruited and being signed, especially when we still have Rob Henry, who took a redshirt year last year. He has a few years left here at Purdue. So that's going to be one thing that's going to be interesting to watch. Some of these incoming freshmen who kind of want to play quarterback and will have to sit behind either Rob Henry and Caleb Turbush, or for another year, Robert Marv, since he's sticking around. But what I think is going to be interesting with the new defensive coordinator, to see how that defense changes, how that line can progress, and how the linebackers work.
It'll be a very different defensive coaching staff. We talked in the last podcast about Tom Timisar coming in from the Montreal Alouettes, from the Canadian Football League. He takes over as the D coordinator. He will be joined as a new member of the coaching staff by Greg Burns, who has come on board to coach the defensive backs. A lot of good defensive backs returning for Purdue, starting first and foremost with Ricardo Allen. This could be a good defense, but it'll be interesting to see how they handle this transition in the coaching staffs.
Definitely. That's going to be a big test early in the season to kind of see against our non-Big Ten conference, those games, to see where the defense is really going to be with all these coaching changes. If it's going to continue to be kind of one of those shining points of Purdue football, or if it's going to hopefully be better, or maybe not so much.
I just want to make one quick note here regarding some play on the field. The performance by Akeem Shavers in the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl for Purdue has earned him the Marines Running Back Performance of the Year. So congratulations to running back Akeem Shavers. He will be a pivotal part of that running game next season. Rob, just 7-6, now all the offseason stuff pretty much is done in terms of signing and moving forward. You know, as the spring game approaches, as spring practices get closer, what do you hope that Purdue does to maybe have one of those 9-3, 10-2 seasons and possibly earn themselves a trip to the Rose Bowl?
Really, I would like to see some more work done with the offensive line. They've been kind of sketchy at times where they allow defense to get into defensive players to get to the quarterback to kind of penetrate, to get the running back behind. They need to kind of work on stiffening that up so that then Hakeem Shavers can have an even better season this year, where he can run for more, where we can have more of that dual threat offense, and hopefully that'll be a big thing.
And before we end the podcast this week, I want to say also congratulations to Leah Eber, who was named the Big Ten Field Athlete of the Week. She had a first place in the long jump with an NCAA qualifying mark of 6.47 meters at the Mayo Invitational. She also earned Athlete of the Week, Field Athlete of the Week on January 23rd. So congratulations to Leah, doing the Boilermaker track and field unit proud, and just bringing home a little more hardware here for the Boilermakers. So just to recap the week to come, the men's basketball team at Ohio State tomorrow night, Tuesday, at 9 o'clock tip-off against the third-ranked Buckeyes. Then it's the women in probably the showdown of the Big Ten season to this point, as they also travel to Columbus. That'll be a Sunday night tip-off, 5 o'clock for Sharon Versip's Club. For Rob McMahon, I'm Sam Clement. You've been listening to the WBAA Purdue Sports Podcast.